Where's the hook, though? That's the question. Why does it sound like there's an air leak?
AZCardinals.com. Sorry I didn't wait for your clincher there.
No, that's okay. That was good.
Had a quick talk with Patrick Peterson.
Boy, boy, boy. It's been a long time coming, but the time has finally come. P2's back. Rise up, Red Sea. Ready to get to work.
Okay. Now, one thing you have to be careful of, this happens a lot, especially in basketball, because it's more of an issue in basketball when it comes to injuries and the like, where people just think we're going to drop you in and everything's going to be okay. I mean, as much as you'd like to assume, Patrick Peterson has been doing everything except doing something that will enhance performance illegally to get ready for the season, you have to then assume he's ready. Okay, but is he really ready? His body hasn't been hit in 7 weeks.
Yeah.
He has not been doing anything that would we could say football game shape. You could say he's in shape, but the shape that a body conditions itself for a football game at the NFL level, granted, he's a corner and he's never been a real physical player anyway.
Ding, ding, ding.
But is he really ready?
I love this game dearly. Love this game dearly. I'm going to be fresh coming into week 7, and I'm excited.
You know what? I'm excited as well because I want to see what kind of impact this is truly going to have on the Arizona Cardinals. Now, listen, schematically, it's a big deal for Vance Joseph. There's no doubt about that. To be able to take a guy and walk him up over the other team's best wide receiver, especially in this day and age where you're throwing the ball ad nauseum, and be able to shut him down, have a reasonable expectation to take that away from the opponent, that is huge. That is gold in a defensive coordinator's hand. Now the problem becomes, to what extent does Byron Murphy suffer because of this? Because now all of a sudden, he's going to be the corner opposite of Patrick Peterson when you had a guy like Robert Alford coming into the season who was going to be that guy. That is a combination that I've been dying to see. Byron Murphy has played so well. I am so bullish on Byron Murphy, this local kid. I am so fired up. Byron Murphy is going to be, I think, a player. He's going to be a player, period. He has done so well through 6 games. My only question is, how good are you going to be, Byron? How good are you going to be? Because you're good right now. There's no doubt about that. As a rookie, how good are you going to be? Are you going to let your success get in the way of you? Are you going to let that success bring you down? Is it going to make your head get big? Are you not going to work as hard as you have in the past? There's a lot of things that you should be afraid of when you experience success. Isn't that right, Grant Hill? There's a lot of things you should be afraid of when you experience that kind of success. The biggest threat is yourself. But now all of a sudden, imagine if you've got Byron Murphy and you've got Patrick Peterson, and maybe Vance Joseph has enough confidence in Byron Murphy to say, we're going to play a ton of man. This is what we're going to do. We're going to play a ton of man. Byron's going to be okay. He's going to hold up. We'll take Tremaine Brock Sr. We'll move him inside over the slot where he really wants to begin with anyways. That's going to be our top three corners. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to mix it up a little bit inside. We're going to show a lot of eight-man fronts. We're going to jam up the box. That's what we're going to do. We'll close the middle of the field. We'll play in and out. We'll play high-low on that tight end trying to take him away. We'll shut down the run. Now, all of a sudden, Vance Joseph can do a lot more of the things that he wants to do. Now, what kind of impact is that going to have on the Arizona Cardinals defense? I don't know. It's not going to be suddenly the Arizona Cardinals are able to stop the run, stuff the run, because Pat P is back at corner. I don't think that's the situation, but I do know you can scheme it a lot more when you have a guy like Pat P.
Well, how long are you going to have Pat P?
That's a good question. Right,
this
there
is Steve Keim on September 20th, and no, I don't think he's backtracking if anything changes. But this is what Steve Keim said to us on September 20th.
I would say this. We're not trading Pat, and that's something that we've been very consistent with, you know, from Michael to myself to Coach. You know, I think that when you look at the kind of player Pat is, and I think arguably the best corner in the National Football League, you know, you have to do is say, does this make our team better or worse? And I think to lose someone like Pat Peterson would make us worse.
That's a very strong statement.
Yeah, sorry.
And when he says, it's okay, I only gave you 4 minutes.
I just
before.
Thought it's like, yes. And
when you look at the trade and the tease too, the thing is really simple. If you have Pat P, he's saying you're better with Pat P than you are with picks. But there's no way he said that thinking the price tag of Jalen Ramsey is 2 first-rounders and a fourth.
Right.
Once that happens and that's established, you have to listen. And is somebody else willing to go that high? We asked Kurt Warner about 2 first-rounders and a fourth, and shouldn't you make a move?
You know, I'm just a believer that when you have a great player, you don't go try to replace a great player because they're rare. They're just guys that, you know, no matter what their skill set looks like. I mean, I remember saying this way back when with Anquan Boldin, is that it almost seemed like every year they were looking, you know, people were looking to replace Anquan Boldin because, you know, he wasn't the fastest guy and his time wasn't this or that. But he was such a big-time playmaker that I always told people, I'm like, don't let him go. Don't get rid of him because he's just rare at what he does and it's going to be hard to replace him.
You know what? It's going to be hard to replace him. There's no doubt, right? But I honestly think, listen, 2 first-round picks, I think they would trade Patrick Peterson for 2. I do believe that. But having said that, nobody's told me that. That's just pure speculation on my part right here. I think the Cards are actually interested in extending Pat P. That doesn't mean they're going to get a deal done with him, but I think it's a possibility. Listen, he's 29. He hasn't missed a game in 8 seasons. He's healthy. He's been healthy. He's still shutting down receivers like Paul shuts down on the dance floor. He's still shutting down receivers. This guy is, in my opinion, the best man press corner in the National Football League. Now, Jalen Ramsey is a close second. There's no doubt about that. But having said that, there's something about Jalen Ramsey and the fact that he would fake back injuries. He would do some other things because he didn't get his way. What is it? You know, honestly, if you're the Rams right now, when does he do that to you?
From the time that Jalen Ramsey's back acted up, the truth of the matter was his plan was not to play again for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Shocking. Was it really? Are you sure about that, Adam? Adam, are you sure? Of course we're sure. When's he going to do that to you? I mean, why does this not bother them, right? Why are they so sure this is not going to happen to us? He just hated Doug Marrone. That's what it was all about. Really? Man, warning, Will Robinson.
Google Can you it. Say the same My thing about Patrick Peterson making a trade demand? I mean, it's unfair to keep bringing it up in the sense that he did try to apologize, tried to move on, but at the same time,
it's fair to bring it up, Doug.
You have a year, you got this guy for a year and a half. To me, it's either trade him or re-sign him.
Yes.
And if you're going to re-sign him, are you absolutely sure he's never going to ask for another trade? He's never going to demand more money on another contract before this contract is done. He's never going to do PEDs again. Listen, the problem, Patrick Peterson does not compare to Jalen Ramsey off the field at all. Patrick Peterson showed up in a helicopter, which the owner wanted. Jalen Ramsey shows up with a hype man and an armored truck.
Right.
Okay?
Listen, wait a minute. Just compare what Pat P did asking for a trade as opposed to what we've seen Jalen Ramsey do.
Fake a back injury to get out. Yeah.
Amongst other things,
yeah.
By the way.
So off the field, they're not comparable.
Different night and day situations.
But that to me would be why I would bridge the gap and say, you know what? I don't care that you're 29. You're not as crazy as
Jalen
Ramsey.
You know what I love
about
it, though? The Rams knew. We got to get rid of Marcus Peters. Yeah. If we're bringing Jalen Ramsey, we got to.
Not just that. Aren't they saying Marcus Peters is worse? We'd rather have Jalen Ramsey
in
there.
So great.
Coming up next. Should Kyler Murray beware of the Giants' defense? And a couple people that want revenge. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Kurt Warner, Super Bowl winning Hall of Fame quarterback, joined the Doug and Wolf show this morning. And he knows the Todd Bowles, James Betcher type of defense very, very well. And we asked him, what's the next step for a Kyler Murray when he's got to face a team like the Giants?
Well, I mean, you know, as you talk about Todd Bowles and James Betcher and what they like to do, they love to bring pressure. You know, they love to come after you in different ways. And, you know, I kind of feel like that's kind of the next progression for defenses against Kyler because he's been running the football extremely well.
What do you see?
It's so interesting right there. It is, Doug Lease, because I was talking to Chase Edmonds about this very thing. Chase Edmonds believed after the Raiders game in the preseason, the way they came after Kyler Murray, that that's all they were going to see in September. They were going to see teams coming after Kyler Murray when really the Baltimore Ravens did to some degree, but they pressure everybody for the most part, right? And it's not like they were bringing all-out blitzes for the most part. But I think that is going to be the big adjustment going forward. The pressure that's going to be applied to Kyler Murray via complex blitz packages and pressure packages. Bear, what do you say you go ahead and give me a digital download from my cloud account here, if you don't mind, please, as we get ready to... Yes. A little typo negative. Gather on the transistor, Basinonians. The Giants run a 3-4 defense with James Betcher as their defensive coordinator. Does it sound familiar, brothers? Betch is a Todd Bowles knockoff that likes to close the middle of the field with a safety and bring complex pressures and blitzes while playing a lot of man cover. The Giants' scheme is no different than most during rundown situations. First and 10, second and 1-6. If you go with 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide, they'll go nickel with a 4-2 front. If you go 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, or 21 personnel, two backs, including a fullback and one tight end, they'll go true 3-4 people. Interesting. He'll almost always keep one more in the box than you can block. Boy, that is a fingerprint of James Betcher and Todd Bowles. Marcus Golden is their most productive pass rusher. He has 5 sacks on the season and has brought toughness and motor to Betcher's edge. The Giants' scheme and talent produces pressure much of the time. They're in the top third of the league in sacks per attempt. Betcher's boys focus on stopping the run so they can get nasty in third and obvious pass situations. And that's when James Betcher gets a little funky with it. Betcher loves to play cover zero. Man across the board, Basinonians. Bring everybody. Huns over the wall with no safety in the middle of the field. And he will bring the house when others take pause. Watching the tape makes me smile. It's so familiar. Like visiting with old friends. Isn't that right, Todd Bowles? But they give up a lot of yards, Basinonians, especially through the air. Only one team in the league gives up more passing yards per game and passing yards per play than the New York Giants. Getting Christian Kirk back would help the Cardinals attack the Giants' secondary. Janoris Jenkins and first-round pick DeAndre Baker are capable corners, but Jabril Peppers and Antoine Bethea have allowed huge numbers in the back end. Cliff Kingsbury might be tempted to revert back to 10 personnel and throwing the ball, especially if Christian Kirk is ready to go, ladies and gentlemen. Throw the ball! But I hope he doesn't scratch that itch, my brothers. This offense has exploded against two defenses that have been bad, but it's exploded in a balanced kind of way. The only difference between the Bengals and the Falcons' defenses and the Giants' defense is that the Bengals and Falcons have better numbers. The onus is on Kyler Murray and the offense to go win a game on the road and light this secondary up. And I can't believe I'm saying that about a rookie quarterback playing his 7th game. But I do know that is the truth right there, Masonians. The onus, I believe, is on Kyler Murray in this offense to continue to grow and carry this team until they figure out how they're going to play. With Pat P coming back, that's going to be a lift, a big lift, I would imagine, right? But it's not going to fix all problems on the defensive side of the ball. It's not. The onus, the strength of this team right now is still the offense. Just looking at what is happening with Kyler Murray, what is happening with the evolution of this offense, it's very, very encouraging to me. It is. They're in the top 10 in total yards per game. Now, listen, I realize at some point you've got to continue to get better in the red zone and you got to score more points. No doubt about it. But, man, when you're producing like that, top 10 in the National Football League, number 9, ladies and gentlemen, in total yards from scrimmage. That's really, really good. Number 12 in rushing yards per game. Now, listen, a lot of that, as we know, is Kyler Murray, and hopefully that's not going to continue. I don't want to see Kyler Murray's numbers continue to go up in terms of rushing the ball, because I think at some point in time, especially over the last two games, we saw him get his block knocked off in the last two games. On two different carries. At some point, that's going to have an impact.
The test is here, because watching that Giants defense last week, and that was in New England. Granted, the Patriots don't have a lot of great offensive receivers, in my opinion. But
no.
Neither do the Cardinals, and they got one. And you look at this matchup and you say, they only gave up 21 points and only one real drive. Like, length of the field, solid drive to New England, to Tom Brady. That's how good the Giants played against him. Unless they have mental lapses of, oh, it's only the Cardinals. This is the biggest test for Kyler Murray, in my opinion. Coming up next, oh, and since you mentioned the Raiders, you know, it's kind of
Raiders.
It's mandatory on the Doug and Wolf show that we do it whenever you do that.
Well, it's pretty boy football.
Oh, is it now?
Yeah. Coming up next. After winning NFC Offensive Player of the Week, what more does Kyler Murray need to prove? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Sorry, I was distracted by Bear. But I appreciated it.
Bear was more of riding dirty, ladies and gentlemen, metaphorically speaking, of course.
I can't wait to ask you guys this question.
All right.
Especially you, Wolf.
Yeah.
At 2-3-1, how many wins will the Cardinals end the season with?
Oh, you are killing me, Belle. Killing
so
me.
So you got under 4, 4-5, 6-7, or 8 or more.
Yeah, I think it's wrong for me to backtrack, even though it looks a lot better than it did at the beginning of the season.
Sure does.
I picked 5 at the beginning of the year, so I'll stay in the 4-5 range. But as you start to look through the schedule, I don't think you're lying to yourself if you think you see 3 wins remaining. But four more wins is a little bit of a stretch to me. I'll say 3.
I'm going to say 5, just like I have. 5 wins. I'm going to stay right there.
So 49% agree with you, 4-5. 39% say 6-7. 7% under 4, and then 5% 8 or more.
Okay. 5%.
You 5%.
I'm surprised, honestly. It's not higher than that.
You 5%.
8 or more?
Oh, yeah. After you've won 2, are you kidding me right now? The massive fluctuation back and forth?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so funny. Like, if you didn't see it, at the beginning of the year, ArizonaSports.com asked us for our quick predictions, what we think. So a bunch of the talk show hosts wrote an article about it. And it's so funny to me because I had said 5 wins for the Cardinals. And then you read the comments underneath it. And the amount of people that wanted to rip us as homers, me as a homer, for picking 5 wins.
5 wins.
Like, what are you seeing? This team is trash. There's no way they win 5 wins. You suck! You know, and stuff like that.
Right.
And then the very next comment will be that I need to go back to wherever I came from because I'm such a downer because I didn't pick the Cardinals to win 9 games. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Oh, that was nice right there. What is this? Oh, I know exactly what this is, Masonians. Guns and Roses. Thank you, Slash, for one of the more iconic openings ever in the history of rock and roll. Guns N' Roses and Sweet Child O' Mine became the first YouTube video. Think about this, brothers. The first YouTube video to surpass 1 billion views.
Wolf, I hate to burst your bubble.
What?
It's not the first YouTube video ever.
What?
It's the first music video from the 80s to surpass a billion views.
Oh, from the 80s?
Yeah.
Like, what has already surpassed a billion views then?
Oh, a million other videos.
Oh,
mostly
really?
Probably by Taylor Swift.
Really?
Gangnam Style.
But you don't have that? Those
no,
are facts?
I googled it. I googled it, and okay. The headlines are saying it's the first 80s music video.
Wow, you know what? I just read that walking through. What?
Okay, so do you know that one Baby Shark where it's like
Baby Shark?
Oh, yeah, I did.
That has 3.6 billion.
Oh! Seems incredible, right? Somebody out there disputed it when I told them a billion. There's no way that there's been a billion views. Seems high. And you're telling me there's 3.6?
Oh, yeah. For, yeah.
Baby Shark.
Wow.
Did you see the Nationals fans last night?
I did see the National fans. Yeah. What
about it? That's the story. The story behind the National season.
The Baby Shark.
People accredited it to Adam Baby Eaton. Shark. And Gerardo Parra took that as his real life, you know, walk up music.
I see. Right there. Adam Eaton, of course. They do it, right? I mean, they all do it. They get on base and they do the Baby Shark.
Yeah, they do
right?
that. Yeah. But I mean, the walk, it started with Gerardo Parra actually doing his walk up music. And then the fans started getting into it like crazy, and suddenly the wind started coming.
Yeah, by the way, if you want to actually act like you travel the universe, the globe, ladies and gentlemen, you say Adato Parra. Adato. Not Gerardo.
Just to back this up, I looked up Taylor Swift on YouTube, and she has at least two that are over a billion.
Well, there you go. So you this is, the qualifier is, it's from the 80s. The first one from the 80s. That has actually surpassed a billion. It's still pretty impressive, is it not? Oh, yeah, okay. Boy, this is... Okay, we get it. That's great. We get it right there, right? Yeah.
Nationals are in the World Series.
Okay, there we go. The Baby Shark thing. There you go. Baby Shark. Ed Otto. Para. Okay. You know, I was pretty jacked up for the show. I was pretty jacked up. Yes. Then you started playing Baby Shark,
think,
of course. Right
I think
there.
What we learned here, and this is an important lesson for the
Who's
future
got a
of
hat,
the Doug and
by
Wolf
the way?
Show.
Does somebody have a hat? Where is
no.
that?
Is that this was going to be the beautiful part of the program where we did research in Doug.
Was it really?
Yeah. But you tried to do research in Wolf.
How so?
And it went up. With your... technically researched.
I just came in here and read exactly what was on the television screen. That's what I said. Exactly what they had up there. They had no qualifier about the 80s. You know, I didn't. Did I tell you to go ahead and play it? Did I tell you, hey, you know what? We got to go ahead and play some Sweet Child O' Mine so I can. No, I didn't tell you to do it. Right? Right, Bear? No, thank you. He just threw that in my face. I made a passing comment. I hope you're all happy right now.
Just trying to be entertaining.
For the
About last, time.
Yes, exactly. For the last 3 minutes.
You know what?
Throw it in my face. I was just reading something.
Speaking of you doing, you know, driving things and just how badly it could go. Bear, do you have research in Doug? Oh, look at that. We got time for maybe one.
Research and Doug. Research and Doug.
But whenever we could go into the old days of Ron Wolfley, it might be a good idea.
Ron Wolfley got a lot of Twitter love for his birthday on Monday, and he pretty much liked everyone's tweet about his birthday, except for mine. Wolf, do we need to talk? All right, Wolf, in all seriousness, jog the memory back to New Year's Day of 2017. What were you and Paul doing? New Year's Day of 2017.
Now, what was that, JV? What was that, really?
What were you doing New Year's Day of 2017?
Wait a minute, New Year's Day? 2017. Yeah.
All right, so last Sunday, the Rams had only 22 net passing yards in the first half versus the 49ers. That was the fewest passing yards in any half since the last Rams game coached by Jeff Fisher, which the Cards won 44-6 in the Coliseum.
On New Year's Day of 2017.
On 2017.
So think about that. That's how good the 49ers defense was, is Jared Goff went back to Jeff Fisher days.
I'm not going 7-9.
Fish, stop it.
8-8. Or 9-7.
And if anybody really... Okay. Wait,
sorry, or 10-6 for that matter.
Yes, well, yes. Jesus. We know that.
I'm not going to settle for that.
Yeah.
Hey, Fish. Okay? You would have taken.
I know what I'm doing.
Nah, obviously
look,
not.
You'd have taken 10-6 and run like
yeah,
a madman.
Exactly. By the way, if you remember the end of that, near the end of that game, that was the game where we were all in panic that it might be the last game of Larry Fitzgerald because for the first time he didn't give the ball to the official. Caught that ball at the Coliseum,
oh
got the touchdown, ran off with it, and you're like, uh-oh, wait a minute.
That was voided from the archives a long time ago.
That was the end of the 2016 season. We're in 2019. He's still here. I mean, that's got to make you feel a little bit
you
better.
Know what, JV? I won't like it again.
I see.
Ron Wolfley got a lot of Twitter love for his birthday on Monday, and he pretty much liked everyone's tweet about his birthday, except for mine.
Hey. Deal with it.
It's time to blitz the Bayou and win an all-expenses-paid trip for two to New Orleans for some football and gumbo, along with the Bird Gang Travel Club. Listen for your name today at 12:30 and 4:30. There's still time to enter. Just text BLITZ to 620-620 for your chance to win. That's BLITZ to 620-620. It's Blitz the Bayou, and it's presented by Pepsi. I just bumped my pod there. Sorry, Bear. Coming up next. Paul's call tries to remember what he did on New Year's Day.
2 + 2 = 4, JV.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's call is brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Stop into one of their 20 Valley locations or online at brooklynbetting.com. Brooklyn Betting, helping you sleep better.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Oh, no.
It's your call.
No, it's your
Dave's
call.
Overrated or Doug's
call.
Overrated?
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's call.
You know, is throwing a football a big deal?
I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Anybody can throw a football.
Anybody can make a play, man.
I mean, try and throw other things.
Who throws a shoe?
No.
Honestly.
No, who throws oranges at Bob Dylan?
You become annoyed at him for not
throwing oranges at him.
That's Elton John on with Jimmy Kimmel.
Name drama.
Superstar Elton John with a story.
Invited us to dinner, and Bob Dylan was there. You can imagine how I felt.
Oh, we have a small dinner party. Elton John, Bob Dylan.
Afterwards, they said, let's play charades.
But of course they want to play charades.
Brilliant.
Even superstars play charades. Just one problem with Bob Dylan.
The answer is blowing in the wind.
Turns out, Mr. American Poet didn't have the answers.
The greatest poet in the world. Could he do sounds like two syllables? No.
No.
Elton John says that at charades, Bob Dylan sucked.
Not good.
And because it can always get worse, says Elton.
And he was on my team.
Oh.
And I am a competitive
no. Elton. I mean, Elton John, he's competitive. He says he doesn't like to lose, even at charades.
You show me a good loser, and I'm going to show you a loser.
Right. He's like Cam.
Cam!
And because Elton had been enjoying a few beverages over the course of the evening, they had to inform him later.
The next day, my friend said, just to remind you, last night, you did throw oranges at Bob Dylan. I went, did I?
We can tell by the jowls, Elton.
If Elton can throw oranges at Bob Dylan.
Wow, bro.
Don't tell me we can't fire the sawed off shotgun of sports.
Oh!
Sports takes and Mike Francesca's take, his prediction on Kyler Murray in every direction.
At 5'9", you're going to have a lot of trouble playing quarterback in the NFL. A lot of trouble. Yeah.
That was from early this year.
Yeah.
5'10", the future of football.
Mandatory.
Murray. Well, he was just named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. The future is now, Ron Wolfley. All you sports talk know-it-alls.
I mean, you could play in college that size. You cannot play in the NFL. It's very hard to play in the NFL at that size.
Well, survey says. Now, look, if you sit in front of a microphone 4 hours per day.
Oh, a microphony.
Yeah.
And a phony at the mic. Get it.
I mean, you can try and brand yourself as...
The Stooges were the best, were they not?
Speaking of Stooges...
I am an expert.
I mean, you can look into your... into your crystal football and pretend to know it all.
Why is the guy's always right? Even when he's wrong, he's right.
Look, the reality, the truth is...
This time you're wrong, Doug.
You will be wrong, Doug. We'll all be wrong.
But even though the king is never wrong, yeah, it looks like I was wrong, right, which I never am.
Doesn't mean, though, it's not entertaining to go in the hot tub time machine and, oh, I don't know, go back to January of this year, okay? K1, QB1 there, Francesa.
Here's a couple things, just comical. Number one, because he won the Heisman, people are like, well, you know, he's probably going to be a first, second round pick. Kyler Murphy, Kyler Murray is a baseball player.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Turn on the polygraph.
He is 5'9" tall.
No,
he took $4.66 million as their ninth pick. Oakland let him play baseball. He is going to baseball after the season.
Although I did think he was 5'8.5" myself.
Yeah. Do you know, by the way, the only thing worse here, do you know they actually made Hot Tub Time Machine 2?
Was a sequel to Hot Tub Time Machine really necessary?
No.
This is atrocious.
No, it wasn't necessary. By the way, you want to hear someone in New York with half a clue on Kyler? Giant safety, Jabril Peppers.
I'm a football player, so, you know, the way I evaluate guys is different than kind of guys who don't play football evaluate guys.
Oh, well, first... He starts his take by taking a shot at everyone who didn't play in the NFL.
An anvil slam.
I mean, just pipe down over there, Wolf, okay? I mean, I can't believe he took a shot at Doug like that. And then Jabril Peppers gives his player's only take on Kyler.
You know, he's unorthodox, but he will be a phenomenal quarterback in this league. I knew that coming out, as well as a lot of other quarterbacks that were in my draft the year after. Oh. We know we have a tall task at hand, but we're going to be more than ready for it.
So I think he's hinting that he knew Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson were going to be better than Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, Paul, if you want to talk about who's the best dressed in the locker room, that's fine. You're an authority.
Did I not tell you back in January when you're all giving your hot takes, incorrect takes, that we had the future of football while the future is now?
He's gone!
That's right!
Oh, mama!
You want a take? How about first take?
Hot takes.
Right.
Get your hot takes right here.
Well, of course, they were asking which rookie quarterback.
Right here.
Would
hot
you
takes.
Rather have.
Hot takes.
Kyler or Daniel Jones?
I'm going to go with Kyler Murray right now for this simple reason.
And then Stephen A. goes into all the stats and he's crunching numbers. And
I think when we look at Kyler Murray, we see a miniature dynamo who's incredibly dynamic and electrifying, both with his arm.
Anybody else hearing? You know the real Stephen A. news around here.
I mean, come on!
Did you catch the Daily Show with John Oliver?
Who the hell are you?
How they ripped Stephen A.
This is very bad.
Here you go. The Daily Show, they were setting up a Stephen A. tirade of a soundbite.
And before you watch this, if you've never heard Stephen A. Smith talk before, just know this. He tends to be loud, wrong, and take pointlessly dramatic pauses.
You don't just think about yourself.
And then they play some of the soundbites.
I just can't take it.
And then they wrap up.
Again, if you're not a sports fan and you're just now seeing Stephen A. Smith for the first time, let me address a few things quickly. One, I'm sorry. Two, yes, he's always like that. And three, no one knows why. But
that was really good right there, Paul. Rick finish.
It's time once again for No Comprendo.
Where are we here? As we look at things that make us say...
No comprendo.
You know you're having a bad day.
Want to get away?
When you get carjacked twice...
No way.
Twice in the same day.
The woman says the first time her car was stolen was when she and three friends were leaving a local festival.
Okay, if you're scoring at home, that was the first time she was carjacked on the same day. St. Louis, no joke here, the bad guys.
Two armed men held them up and made off with their car, despite one of her friends jumping on top of the hood to try to stop them.
No! Don't do that. I mean, it's a 2011 Chevy Cruze. Do not.
No!
Oh, no, I mean, you know, I mean, okay. Good news.
The woman later located her car by GPS. She reported it to police, who left her with her car to wait for a locksmith.
All right, found the car.
Dang, that was lucky.
But while she was waiting for the locksmith...
And the same two men showed up and took her car again.
No comprendo.
Stop it.
Car jacked twice on the same day.
That's the fact, Jack!
No.
I'm not laughing at the car jacking.
No. Carjacked.
Police found her car. This time, they waited with her until the tow truck arrived.
We appreciate that.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It is, Paul.
Forget about finding the old 2011 beater. Did you find the bad guys?
You fucking sneaky bastard.
Yes, ball's gone.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's. Brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Looking to buy a nice home and can't find one? Go to OurNiceHomes.com. That's OurNiceHomes.com.
I just want to thank my wife who sent me an email that gave me an article on one of my favorite memories as a college student when the Ohio University Alumni Band got in a fight with the Miami football team. We hate those guys. And yes, it's a true story.
You know, I just can't believe Jabril Peppers ripping on guys like Doug and Bernsey for never having played in the NFL. It's unreal.
Yeah, it's amazing about it. Patrick Peterson still shutting down receivers like Paulie shuts down dance floors.
Okay.
Peace and strength.
It's go time.